Amen. First reading today is from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on the rock. Now my head is lifted up above all my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Quote, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." End quote. So from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we read in the Gospel of John how John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. In that passage we heard how Andrew and Simon Peter and perhaps a third disciple of John went to Jesus. Quote, "The two disciples heard him say this," calling Jesus Lamb of God, "and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which translates teacher, "'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated anointed. "He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,'" which is translated Peter, end quote. So in today's passage in Matthew, we have what seems to be a rather abrupt calling of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. It's been suggested that read together, perhaps the calling of the disciples in this passage was not the first time Jesus had met these men. In fact, with the scripture leading off with John the Baptist's arrest, it makes sense that this passage in Matthew is following the passage in John. Perhaps that makes it easier for us to hear. If we put ourselves in the position of people who are at work, and suddenly a stranger comes up and says, "Follow me," we find it hard to believe that we would jump up, leave our workplace behind, and follow this stranger. But if we've been going to hear the renowned preacher and prophet that John the Baptist has been talking about, and who's been described as the Lamb of God, maybe it makes a little more sense to believe that these men would actually leave. Or maybe in this day of the great resignation, it's a little easier to believe that people would leave their job for something more fulfilling. But nonetheless, Such a career change is dramatic. To go from fishing in the family business to following an itinerant preacher is a dramatic life change. And dramatic life changes are stressful. Generally speaking, we avoid change because we avoid stress. Generally speaking, we want to stay where we are because it's easier to remain in place than it is to change. Even when we know with our head that it would be better to change, it's hard to motivate ourselves to make that change. This resistance to change is one of the reasons abused persons tend to stay in abusive relationships. In physics, it's called inertia. Inertia is defined as the tendency of a body at rest to stay at rest. It's not until some form of energy is applied that the body at rest will move. Now, that applied energy or force will get the body moving. It's helpful to think of this story in light of applied energy and what applied energy Jesus puts on the disciples to move from their jobs to following him. To carry the analogy a little further, we believe that it's human nature to remain at rest where we are. That human inertia that keeps us from hearing God's call is sin. That is a state of separation from God. Thankfully, God doesn't leave us there, but persists in calling us, reaching out to move us out of our sinful state. God's moving force is called grace. It is not through our own efforts that we move from our state of sin, but through the grace of God freely given to us through Jesus Christ. So how do we know about this grace? How do we hear the call of God? First, like the disciples, we hear the word of God proclaimed. Like the story from John, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John's proclamation, like all good preaching, points to Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Thus, we know about grace through preaching or proclamation of the Word. We also know about grace by the Word of God written in Scripture. Matthew takes great pains in his gospel to point to how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Scripture. Now notice here that scripture is Old Testament as well as New Testament, because the Bible that Jesus carried, as the old saying goes, was not the KJV. It was the Hebrew Bible, okay? In today's lesson, Matthew is again quoting from Isaiah, this time from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Which says, quote, "But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way by the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." We know about the grace of God through the Word of God written in Scripture, particularly when read in light of the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ. And that's the third way we know the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And it is not up to us to find Jesus. Jesus finds us. Indeed, Jesus calls us. That call may begin very quietly with just a gentle tug. And as we hear the call, it becomes more and more insistent. And like the shepherd who looks for the lost sheep, or the widow who looks for the lost coin, Jesus does not give up. The call of Jesus is as insistent as a person who stands at the door and knocks until whoever hears the knock opens the door and lets Jesus in. The knock keeps coming until the inertia keeping the door closed is overcome. The sin that keeps us separated from Jesus is overcome, and the door is opened by the power of grace. Jesus calls us. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Jesus wants us to open the door and respond to the call. But what does responding to that call look like? In today's story, it involves leaving home, career, and family, and following Jesus wherever He leads. For each of us, that call may lead us to different places because we are gifted differently. But the call will lead us according to God's goals for the kingdom of heaven. In today's scripture, Matthew tells us of three important kingdom goals: teaching, preaching, and healing. In verse 23, Matthew says, quote, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming," preaching, "the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people." Those who were called were following Jesus in this mission of teaching, preaching, and healing. Ultimately, as the church, those who are called to follow Jesus, those who are called to be the body of Christ in the world, we carry on Jesus' ministry, teaching, preaching, and healing. The Gospel of Matthew has been called a manual on church life. This gospel puts a heavy emphasis on the teaching ministry of Jesus and contains the much-loved Sermon on the Mount. As we walk with Jesus and respond to Jesus' call, we are to ask ourselves, how do I respond to the call? What is Jesus teaching me about being part of the body of Christ? Last week, we ordained and installed officers who've been called to serve in the church. Some churches consider ordination to be a sacrament. Now, while the Presbyterian Church does not consider ordination sacramental, it's a very special recognition of the calling of God. This recognition is preserved in the term vocation, which comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. The ancient practice of ordination, called by some holy orders, involves laying on of hands, a sign of passing on the Holy Spirit, beginning with the apostles of Jesus and then going down through the church over the centuries. In Acts chapter 6, we read this, quote, "Now during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, The Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12, the disciples or apostles, called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 persons of good standing, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. End quote. Rachel Held Evans, in her book Searching for Sunday, says it this way, quote, "There's something about that touch, that act of consecration, which turns a prayer into a pulse that ripples right down to the toes. Just as God comes to us through water and wine, God comes to us through touch, through the holy acts of holy hands." End quote. Today, it's up to us to respond to Jesus' call to each of us by using our gifts in His service. All of us have gifts for ministry. All of us are called into ministry. As I hope you've noticed on the back of the bulletin, where we've got staff, the very first word on there says ministers, and out to the side of it, it says whole congregation. All of us are called into the ministry. Last week, we recognized some of those called into the ordered ministry of being a ruling elder through ordination and installation. The reason for the distinction between ordination and installation is that those who've been previously ordained as ruling elders are always ordained as ruling elders and then are installed when they come back to serve again in that role. Consider how you're called by Jesus, how you will respond. May the irresistible grace of Jesus Christ be very real to you now and forevermore. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 664, Morning Has Broken. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us take it to the Lord in prayer. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you have chosen the poverty of the world to make your people rich in faith. Help us to put our faith into practice through the offering of our lives, giving food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the poor, all for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, your word made flesh. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. We approach God in prayer not as strangers, but as beloved children, baptized in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. As children of God, we pray for the church. Make us followers of Jesus and fishers of people, proclaiming the nearness of your realm and demonstrating the good news of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. As children of God, we pray for our communities. Put an end to the divisions among us. Make us one as you are one, united in a common vision and purpose. Lord, in your mercy. As children of God, we pray for the world. Be the stronghold of the weak and break the power of the oppressor. Let those who cry for you see your face. Lord, in your mercy. As children of God, we pray for the earth. Teach us not to plunder the gifts of your creation, but to share the bounty of the land with all and preserve your blessings for coming generations. Lord, in your mercy. As children of God, we pray for loved ones. Be their light and salvation. Shelter those who are in trouble and protect them from all harm. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, as you are well pleased with Christ, help us to live in a way that will be pleasing to you. As you have called us to listen to Christ, help us to always heed his word and seek his will. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the glory to God, hymnal to number 314, Christ Be Our Light.
Longing for truth, we turn to
having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Let the irresistible grace of Jesus Christ move you as you find your special calling. Because you, yes, you, have been called. Go and serve the Lord. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.